Clarryway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Nisan, 23rd of March, Rav Jeremy Golke Shlita, 3 days in the Midbar.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here again. Miss Hashem, Motzei Shabbos. There's some handouts on the bimah if you want. Just over there. Just Mitz Hashem, Motzei Shabbos, the first Seder. At the very beginning of the Seder, we say those familiar words, Holach no Anya. We take the matzah, and we say this matzah is a symbol of Avdus. This is the bread of affliction, the Acholu Avoson Abar de Mitzrayim. And yet, a little while later, when it comes to the matzah mor and Pesach, we say matzah zu shonu echim al shumo, al shum shlehis betzeikom shavasein lahachmitz. So you see that it changes. All of a sudden, the matzah represents geula. It's a sign of freedom. Good morning, Norman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. There's some handouts if you want on the bimah. So, it's a very strange thing. The same item of food, the same symbol represents avdus and cheiros. It seems a strange choice. You know, I remember one time, it was many, many years ago, I went to a chasna, a fellow, whatever, he had married person who would want to make a very, very fancy chasna and a very English chasna. And they had a master of ceremonies in the long red coat. I don't know if you've ever been to any of these. Have been there. Anyway, a very fancy chasna. Halfway through, it was a wedding. It wasn't a chasna. And halfway through, the chef came out and the MC, the master of ceremonies, declared he wants to introduce the wedding cake. Right? And the chef came out, you know, in his Shmoneh Begadim, and he came out and he took the microphone and he announced how many kilos of flour, how many dozens of eggs, how much sugar. Now, and then you have this enormous cake, you know, 7 layered, whatever it was. Now that's a sign of geula, right? To lift up a piece of matzah and say this is geula. I understand it's a simon of avdus, holach ma'anyo. But later on, I suggest, rather than point to the matzah, we bring out, you know, we sort of bring a trolley, and it's kosher Pesach, of course, it's Edenite, but it should be a 7-layered, like a matzah tata or something like that, something very impressive, and announce how many matzahs, how many eggs, how much chocolate. Norman, you agree? Yeah. Good idea. So that should be avdus, and then cheiros. You've got a different thing. Why are we referring to the same item for avdus and cheiros? Another question, and this is a famous question. The pasuk says in the third parak of Shemos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Ubaso, you should go to Paroi, Ato v'zikne Yisrael melech Mitzrayim, v'omar temelov Hashem elokei avrim nikro aleinu. You want to go out for 3 days. And the Mefarshim are very perplexed by this request. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe to tell Paro that we want to go out for 3 days? That was never the plan. There was no intention to go out for 3 days and then come back. You needed a 3-day break. The plan, of course, was to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to go to Eretz Yisrael, to receive the Torah, etc., etc. What is pshat of derech shleishis yomim b'midbar? So there we have two questions. Question number one, why is it that the matzah is both a symbol of avdus and cheiros? And question number two, what is pshat in derech shleishis yomim b'midbar? How can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe a request 3 days when l'chera that was never the plan? Those are the two questions. So let's answer the first question first. And we'll see. It also feeds into the second question. Seder night is a journey. We know that we begin Seder. There are 15 stages. We begin off with simonim. you know, in any other nights, you know, Friday night, Mr. Hashem, we're not going to get back home and say, right, this is the sort of the itinerary for the evening. We're going to start off with Kiddush, and then we're going to make Moitzi, and then it's going to be gefilte fish. We don't have a program. But yet, say the night, we have a program. Why? Because there's a journey. What is the journey of say the night? The number 15 always alludes to this. 15 is always a representation of a journey of aliyah in ruchnias, of growth in Yiddishkeit. You have 15, for example, many times you have 15, the 15 steps going up to the Beis HaMikdash, the 15 Shir HaMalos, which the Levim would sing on each step. You have 15 Doiros, for example, from all the way to Shlomo HaMelech. When we say, for example, Hashiveinu Hashem Elechem Noshuv Achadei Shomeinu Kekedem, from Avram Avinu, is that from Avinu? That we go all the way back and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring back the good old days. What are you referring to? The high point of Jewish history was Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, the time of Shlomo HaMelech. That's as close as we ever got to sort of the times of Moshiach, as it were. So you see that 15 is always a journey to full, even the moon, for example. I remember a few weeks ago, I came out of the house and it was the most beautiful Levana, full moon, 15th of the month. I went back inside, got my wife in the car, said, God, I'm coming out, take a look at this. Magnificent. Then after a few days, you know, it gets smaller and smaller, and now we're on the rise again. 15 always represents this journey. The journey of Seder nights is exactly that. We begin Seder as avodim to Paro, and therefore the matzah is indeed a sign of slavery. And you fill in the box, whatever we're avodim to, anything we feel that we can't break, we can't stop, any whatever the avdus happens to be. But by the end of Seder, it should be a journey that we become avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you think about it, the journey was meant to be from Mitzrayim straight into Eretz Yisrael. The Torah always refers to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Kanaan. The Farshim say Eretz Kanaan is from the word hachno'o, to be machnia ourselves. In other words, the whole journey was to become avodim from Paroi to avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because true chayrus, as we know, is to become avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Chazal tell us, "Ein lecha ben chayr el misha hoya isik batera." You know, Rabbi Lef, spoken here, has been to London many times. He tells a great story that when he was a rav, he grew up in America. He learned in Tells for many years, and he became a rav in Miami. This is going back, I think, to the 60s, 70s. Very successful rav. They built the first ever Erev in Miami in a very thriving community. They had one taina against him. The taina against him was they didn't feel that he was sufficiently Zionistic enough. He didn't have a love for Eretz Yisrael. So he said to them, listen, with respect, I've never been to Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, travel, not nowadays, but generally, travel is so much easier. But in the 70s, you know, people didn't travel as much. And he was a born and bred American, learned in Tells for many years, was a Rav in Miami. He'd never been to Eretz Yisrael. So the shul said, you're right. We're going to pay for you and your Rebbetzin to go to Eretz Yisrael. All expenses paid, and he went. He farmed out the kids. They were looked after by families and relatives in America. And he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he always says that he's been in Eretz Yisrael once as a tourist. Right? Because he came back, and he said, listen, it worked. I love Eretz Yisrael. And he handed in his notice. And he's that. And the irony of history is that he's been a Rav in Moshav Matzio, built up Eretz Yisrael, etc., etc. And the board, who said he wasn't Zionistic enough, are still sitting in Miami. That's one of the ironies of history. But when he was there on that first trip, we've all been there, the road that goes from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, Kvish Aleph. It had just been broadened from a single lane to two lanes. And they were driving up to Yerushalayim, and the taxi driver driving Rabbi and Rebbetzin Lef was very proud of his new wide road. And he turned around to Rabbi Lef and he goes, Tagidli. He says, tell me, you have roads like this in America? And Rabbi Lef described the Verrazano Bridge, which I think is 16 lanes on each side or something. Or, you know. So we have roads like this in America. We stand, we say in benching, Noida Lecha, You refer to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Toiva Urechava. Wide. You know, they do the Yam Liyam, you can run across Eretz Yisrael in a few hours. You can cycle the north to south also, not that long. And we have the audacity to call it Eretz Toiva Urechava. It's wide. To make matters worse, Mitzrayim is from the Lashon of Tsar, narrow. Take a look at the map. Mitzrayim is not narrow. So why do we call Mitzrayim, which is the prototype of Golos, of Chutz La'aretz, we call it Mitzrayim, Mitzat, Tsar, and yet we call Eretz Yisrael Rechava? It's physically not true. There it is. We're referring to the spiritual qualities of the lands. Golos, and Mitzrayim in particular, is constraining. Eretz Yisrael is easier. Your neshama can breathe more there. We call it Eretz Canaan because we're machnia ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is true cheirus. That is the journey of Seder, to become Avodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Gurvitz says a very beautiful small insight. You know, at the end of Seder, we Echod Miyodea. It's a strange song. What's it about? Says Rav Avram, it's a way to test the success of the evening. You know, in schools, you're always self-assessing, how well are you doing? How do the kids understand what you're doing? How well? You're always self-assessing the whole time. Echod Miyodea, says Rav Avram, is a self-assessment at the end of the Seder. How successful was the evening? Well, how do you judge? So the way you judge, you play word association. You've all played before. I would say knife, fork, apple, orange, etc., etc. And just by the way, one time I said it with, I did this in Shia, I told over this vod, and I said to the boys, I played it with them. Now to bring out the point, which I'll tell you in a second, I said, knife, fork, good, and carry on. Next round, apple, and he said, iPhone. His word association, iPhone, right? I can see I've dated me. So Rav Ram says, when you say one, what is your one? Is your instinctive response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two, Lucha is three, the others, etc., etc. If you're thinking along those lines, that's a simon that it's been a successful evening. That's the journey of Seder. So therefore, the matzah is a very good representation, A, of Avdus and B, of Cheirus. And that because, what is true Cheirus? True Cheirus is to be machni ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and like the Mishnah says, sorry, it's a pesikta in Shemos, on the sheet there. Okay, what about the second question? Why 3 days? Wasn't it sort of some sort of, it wasn't true? So four answers I want to present to you. First answer, very briefly, the Arachayim says, it's midah keneged midah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of orchestrated that we get into the Avdus, he did it in a way where the Mitzrayim sort of tricked us into it. You know, the first day you have the whole of Mitzrayim doing it, you have the Paro doing it, everyone doing it. But the next day Paro slipped away, etc., etc. And then they were fooled into it. Midah keneged midah, you have to fool them as a punishment. And therefore they said 3 days. Now, just by the way, I should emphasize, this 3 days was a havamin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, go and tell Paro 3 days. Paro said no. Aha, if it's no, so then we've got a plan B. The plan B is I'm just taking them out. The kasha is, what's the havamina? What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe in the first place to tell them 3 days? So the Arachayim says, midah keneged midah. Fine, you fooled them in, you fooled them out. The Sfarno says a very, very interesting and a very important yesod. There isn't time to go into detail, but it's an important yesod which bears thinking about. And it's a good topic for conversation at Seidonite or over Yom Tov. We know, if Dessler has made it famous, that everyone is challenged according to their Nekudas HaBechira, according to the particular level they're on. Right? So if it could be, you have a person who is not brought up religious, he may have gone to Cheder when he was 6 or 7 years old, and his Nekudas HaBechira will be at a very different level to someone who's been to proper Chinuch and proper, is religious observant life. But everyone is tested on their particular level. Now, Bechira. The Rambam says, Bechira is a gift. It's a gift because ultimately, it's the means through which we get to Olam Haba. If every time we help the old lady across the street, a gold nugget sort of floated down and landed by our feet, who wouldn't help the old lady across the street? And if every time, we're learning Hilchos Lashon Hara before I came, every time we spoke Lashon Hara, we sort of got this little electric shock on our tongue, then who would speak Lashon Hara? Elamai, we have Bechira, and therefore when we choose and make the right choices, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a reward. But it's a gift. It's a gift for us to earn Olam Haba. If a person abuses a gift repeatedly, then you can lose it. That's the Rambam's take on how it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechazik the heart of Paro. Well, take away its bechira. Bechira is a fundamental. You can't take away someone's bechira. Says the Rambam, you can. Because bechira is a gift, and if you repeatedly abuse it, you can take it away. But Hartman always gives the following moshel to bring out this Rambam. That you have, imagine the following very dramatic scenario. Rahman al-Islam, you have a child who's a troubled child, and he does something terrible. He takes a gun, and he walks home one day frustrated with his parents and shoots them both dead. Kills his parents. So the police come along, they arrest him, they take him straight to prison, and the judge says, before he passed his sentence, he says, do you have anything to say in mitigation? So he said, yes, have rachmanus on me, I'm a yosem. Right? Well, that's ridiculous. You can't have it both ways. You have a gift of parents and you abuse it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to, that's not a factor. Fine. So that's the way the Rambam answers that question. The Sefarna and the Ramban answer the problem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the philosophical conundrum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away the Bechira of Paro, by going back to the Nekudas HaBechira. You see, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said to Moshe, tell Paro to take Klal Yisrael, they've got to go out forever, then there's no way he would say yes. That was not his level of Bechira. If it would be for taking for 10 days, that's too much. For 5 minutes, okay, if you want to go out for 5 minutes, go out for 5 minutes. 3 days is where he's going to oscillate. Yes, no, they're going to be the two noises in his head. Yes, no, yes, no. That's when he's going to have that moral choice. So therefore, 3 days was bidiyuk, the Nekudas HaBechira that would test Paro, maybe yes, maybe no, maybe yes, maybe no. That was his Nekudas HaBechira. That's the Ramban and the Sefarno. The third answer to this 3 days is a very interesting MS Liakov. Liakov Kamenetsky says the following. He says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu that Klal Yisrael are going to be in Galus for 400 years. We know that didn't happen. They were only there for 210 years. So how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lied? What did he mean? Says Rabbi Yaakov, after being in Mitzrayim for 209 years, he saw that Klal Yisrael, they're on the edge of the cliff. They're on the 49th level of Tumah. If they stay any longer, they're going to drop off the cliff and there's irredeemable. So what did he do? Kirov Rechaikim is not a new phenomenon. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll take Klal Yisrael out and we'll take them on a siege Shabbaton. This is Rabbi Yaakov. We'll take them out to wherever they're going to go, and for 3 days we'll go in the Midbar, and they'll have a gewaldig 3 days in the Midbar, of whatever that Shabbaton would be. I'm sure Jerry Grunfeld and others would have been part of the organization. And that would give Klal Yisrael such chizuk that they would go back in and they would be able to cope for another 190 years. That's what Rabbi Yaakov says. So when he asked for 3 days, it was MS. They asked for 3 days. It was in order to go out to give them chizuk to withstand another 190 years. The final answer, the fourth answer, this is I heard from Rabbi Leff, and he says a very, very interesting answer. And this goes back to the answer to our first question. He said, how can it be the matzah symbolizes both avdus and chayrus? So we said that no, it does. Because we begin the Seder as avodim, and we end the Seder as avodim. We begin the Seder as avodim leparay, and we end the Seder as avodim l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because that is true chayrus. To verify to ascertain whether or not Klal Yisrael have reached that level of Avodim Takodesh Baruch Hu, we're going to have to test them. So this is how we're going to test them. You tell Paro that we're going out for 3 days. We'll go out for 3 days, but the intention was always to actually go out for much longer, forever. And then they go out for longer. This is what's going to happen. After 3 days of freedom for a people who have been subjugated and persecuted for decades, Moshe Rabbeinu, under the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to say, okay, time's up. Now we go back into Mitzrayim. Tell the people, be mitzvah the people, we're going to go back to Mitzrayim. Oh, that's tough. Are they going to listen or not? To make it contemporary, and I am careful with my example. But imagine you, Rahman al-Islam, you have a Yid who's been freed from Russia. You have a Jew who's escaped Nazi Europe. You tell them that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, go back. Who would want to go back? But if you knew that it was the Rotz Hashem to go back, that is the true litmus test if you're an Evet HaKadosh Baruch or not. Are you listening unconditionally or not? So after 3 days, HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe, okay, tell them to go back in. If they say, no way, back to Mitzrayim, crazy, you just escaped from there. It's a sign they haven't passed the test. If, however, they say, it doesn't make sense to me, I don't understand it, but if that's the Rotz Hashem, then we'll do it. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. That is a simon that they are avodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gevaldik, you've passed, let's go. Let's go to Eretz Yisrael. It's purely a simon, a test, to see whether they're not, they've reached the end of their journey as avodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 3 days, do they listen when I tell them to go back to Mitzrayim? That's how Rabbi Leff explained it. So what have we seen? So we've seen two questions. Two questions. Question number one. How can matzah symbolize two contrasting symbols? Bring out your seven-layered wedding cake. The teretz is because matzah is the symbol of avdus. The Ibn Ezra writes that in his day, and that's not that long ago, several centuries, but it's not 3,333 years ago, even in his day, they would give avodim matzah to eat. Why? Because matzah, it's easy, it's very portable, it's very thin, you can give one thin slice and that's it. It's hard to digest, therefore you don't have to feed them often. It's cheap food, that's the only thing that's changed. But that's the, in those days, that was the symbol of avdus. So yes, we begin Seder as avodim, and we end Seder as avodim. We begin Seder as Avodim to Paro, but we end Seder as Avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a perfect symbol. Beautiful. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell Paro 3 days and no more? Four answers. Answer number one, the Arachayim. It's Midah Keneged Midah. That we were fooled into the Avdus. And therefore the correct and appropriate punishment is to fool them out. We tell them 3 days, but actually it's much longer. The second answer is the Sefarno. That the Sefarno explains that 3 days was Bidiyuk, the Nekudas HaBechira of Paro. You ask him any longer? No way. Any less? Okay. 3 days was exactly the point where he'll oscillate and he'll be in that sort of cold conundrum, do I or don't I? The third answer is Rabbi Yonis Nabishis, but Yaakov brings it in Emes Liyakov. It's on the back of the sheet, by the way. Take the sheet and you're welcome to go over it over Yom Tov. It's a beautiful piece in Emes Liyakov. That Rabbi Yaakov says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said 400 years. After 209 years, they realize they've almost got to the point of no return. And therefore, I need to take them out to be mechazik them in order they could withstand a further 190 years of Golus, of Shiva and Mitzrayim. Paro said no, so therefore we've got to go. We can't. The 3 days was always the Havamina. And the fourth and final answer is Rabbi Leff's own answer, very beautiful answer, that the 3 days was the test of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see whether they have achieved their tachlis of becoming Avodim Lashem. After 3 days, we tell them to go back to Mitzrayim. If they say no way, then you haven't passed the test. Back to Mitzrayim. be in the Kura Barzel for a further period of time until you become Avodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they would say yes, let's go back to Mitzrayim, whatever you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand it, then that's a sign they've passed the test, they're Avodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, off we go to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore it's important and interesting ideas, things to think about, and hopefully a Hachana for a Seder. Mr. Hashem, it should be a wonderful yontif for all of us in Klal Yisrael. Thank you.